Good evening. Look to the word Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, reading from 25. Luke 10, starting from 25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. Notice that question and the answer. He said, Do this, you have it answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. And then starts the parable that we have been considering. The title in my Bible says Parable of the Good Samaritan, and so might be the same for you as well, starting from 29. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this great Bible parable, Lord, as a story that we read from the mouth of our Lord. We know, Father, that time and time again, your word speaks to us quietly in all life's experiences and instances that you take us through, that you give us time and also places and souls to deal with. And this one, Lord, teaches that same lesson, that we need to be aware of the need of others as well. We now, Lord, pray that thou would bless us now with your word. For we ask with thanksgiving in our Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is one of the parables that is even outside the realm of biblical talk. This story or the name Good Samaritan is somehow heard. I recently, probably a few months ago, I heard in the news there was an accident somewhere on the way, either in Dallas or somewhere else. But sure enough, this word came up in the news. There was a Good Samaritan on the way to take care of the need of that person who was wounded. So regardless of how we keep being reminded about this word, even outside our own life, we can hear this word, a Good Samaritan. In fact, the place that I lived before moving to Texas was in Dayton, Ohio. There was a hospital named Good Samaritan Hospital. That name was there for a long time. The hospital is still there, but it has got a different name now. It has got 2 questions with the story that we would probably consider before we look into this parable. The question from the lawyer, remember this lawyer is not the regular lawyer, but the lawyer of God's law or the scribe. And this was his question. How, he said to him, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? This same question, but was asked by a few other people as well. If you look at the same book, in chapter, I believe it is in the same book, chapter 18, we see another person asking the same question about eternal life. Again, in Matthew, chapter 19, verse 16 to 22, a rich young ruler is asking about how to inherit eternal life. In John 3, verse 1 to 15, we see that a good guy, Nicodemus, who was a follower of Lord Jesus, but come quietly without being seen by others, he also had a similar question. How do I get a rebirth? So this is a very good question, a God-honoring question, but it was asked by two, three different people. But this one is actually the question is good with a hidden motive. The motive was that he wanted to see how the Lord was going to answer the question, how he would he was going to test the Lord, what was his answer. So the Lord is, instead of giving an answer, he is asking two other questions back to him. First one was that you just have to follow the law. And he said, what is written in the law and what is your reading of it? Rightfully, he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Probably this scribe was very, very sure about that answer. Maybe he was expecting the same answer from the Lord himself. But here comes a problem. He says, but who is my neighbor? He said to him, you have answered correctly, do this. The Lord says, do this and you live. Then and the parable of the Good Samaritan starts there. This parable is so real. In fact, this similar things might have happened. Who knows? Because the travel from Jerusalem to Jericho, 17 miles through the rocky, winding area, 3,000 feet something descent, infested with thieves. So quite likely this might have happened or likely to happen as well. So this man who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, sure enough, he was robbed by thieves and he was attacked, he was stripped of his clothes, he was wounded and left half dead. And the Lord says that two other people passed by. One is the priest, second is the Levi. You would remember that the priest and the Levi, they were very well versed in the law, and they were actually expected to take care of those who are in need as well. But what happened, unfortunately, as we know, that they saw the scene, the crime scene, or whatever sad situation of this wounded traveler, passed the other side and left. And as we proceed in the story, a third one comes, a Samaritan comes. It is unusual for a Samaritan to pass that way because Samaritans were the most hated a group of people by the Jews, and very, very unlikely that a Samaritan could help. But actually, the story says that it is the Samaritan who felt pity on him. It says that as he saw him, he had compassion on him. When he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn and took care of him. In fact, he had to use his own first aid kits that he used to carry with him, the wine and also the oil, as a wine for the antiseptic and oil for the healing. And he put him on his own animal, took him to his inn, and then take care of his need in the inn. Left the inn, he left him, asking the innkeeper that what, giving him a 2 denarii, and then telling him that whatever in excess, he would repay him as well. 2 denarii, as the footnotes in the Bible say, that's a 2 days wages, which is normal, and it is sufficient enough for the need of this traveler to take care of him. Notice that he felt compassion. Second thing is, he stopped his plan, rearranged his plan. While taking him to the inn and then binding his wounds, using his first aid kit, and then spending quite a bit money on his behalf, leaving the guy at the care of the innkeeper with a promise that he would come back and was repay whatever is needed extra. A question comes, what really motivated this Samaritan, who is an enemy of the Jews, to do this compassionate, loving care for this man who was left half dead? And that's a question we need to ponder, you know, that he did not get anything in return. He just had losses only, but he just did it because the key word is he had compassion. And that is something we need to make specific note of, that regardless of whatever is our plans, our agenda, whatever things that we are doing, the Lord always honor those with compassionate heart. And this man, although he was a Samaritan, he had compassion. So sad to notice that the Levite and the priest, supposed to show compassion, because the scripture reminds them that you need to show mercy and compassion towards those who are oppressed, and fail to do that. Here comes the difficult part. At the end of the story, Lord Jesus is asking this scribe. So out of these three people, out of these he's asking a question. Let me see. Verse 36. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? You know, the original question was, who is my neighbor? That question really reminds us something, and that is self-righteous mind of this man, of this scribe. He anticipated, he expected others to show kindness to him and to be his neighbor, not he the neighbor to them. So that's why he's asking the question, who is my neighbor? There was a visible need there, but he is still asking the question after listening to this story. He said, who is my neighbor? So Lord Jesus asking this way, reversing the same event out of these three. Verse 36, and he said, which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Rightly he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and likewise. You know, earlier we read about the law of God, which he was well versed,
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor, love your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly, do this and you will live. One difficulty with that part is that do this and you will live only will take place with the mercy of God above. Because in human nature is that the scribes' dealings with this Samaritan shows that you can have all the knowledge, you can have all the exposure to the scriptures, but do this and you will live is conditional, because you need to ask God's mercy and kindness to do that, because you know that do this and you will live is easy to say, but until you confess your nothingness before Lord, compassion will never come. And he said, he who showed mercy on him was the right there. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. I just would like to come to the conclusion here, is that Lord Jesus never put down anybody, but at the same time, he could read the heart of man, regardless of whoever he is. He could read the heart of the scribe as well, the intention of his question, and how the Lord answered the question correctly. At the same time, turning the table the other side and showed him who is the right neighbor, and he had to confess. We don't know any change of heart happened to this scribe, but it says that he who showed mercy on him was the right neighbor. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. What a great reminder is that need is there everywhere. People are there with the need everywhere. But our hearts should be receptive, open, and submissive to God's plan and God's agenda in our life. This story reminds us that whatever is our programs, our plan, our daily things in life, God is always looking for the very heart of each person, how you respond to the need of the hour. Nothing will come easily. This man had to spend his time, his effort, and even he had to rearrange his own travel plan. But that's the only way to do service for the one who is in need. And it is my prayer that God only knows how we respond to the needs around us. We can learn, we can study, we can memorize so many words, so many things in our life, but action and the heart to help others, responding to the need of others, it takes a lot of humility. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of our effort and pain, and also money sometimes. But that is something we need to take care of as we continue to serve him, not only here, but anywhere else we go. It is my prayer, and that I hope it is your prayer as well. But may the Lord help us to be submissive to his plans in life. Even when it costs us, even if it hurts us, try to do whatever the Lord is reminding us to do, whether it is helping others, serving others, encouraging others. Let it be done with the love of the Lord. And then we can sing with the hymn writer as we have sung. Love will find a way. And I think that should be our testimony as well. Somebody spend their time for us at some point in our life. Otherwise, we would never have been born again and we would be never God's children. I thank God that those who spend their time and their energy for me helped me to get born again, to get a fresh look in life as well. So let's may this thought give us the needed grace and wisdom and patience as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, praise you and thank you for reminding us time and again that we need to be a good neighbor to everyone who brings us in our life. No matter, Lord, things may not be favorable, things may not be easy. Help us, Father, to have a heart to love and to serve you in any capacity that you give us in life. For we ask with thanksgiving. In our Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.